I'll tell you what, Dom. I love this podcast, but I am sick of the ads.
Why don't you pay for the ad-free version?
I'm not going to spend $9 a month on this bloody thing.
Well, admittedly, you were in the room when we recorded them.
The worst thing about it is you get this ad-free version, but you also get extra content.
I know.
And it's terrible. Listen to the latest episode. The whole point is, do we just scrap everything that he's done so far?
Mm. This is a new minefield, I think, that we're suddenly discovering. Mm. I mean, the other thing, Charles, is he could just ditch the whole Ben Long idea and he can just choose Hitler instead.
Don't sign up at chaser.com.au/podcast so that you don't have to have the ad-free version and you don't get that extra content.
For $9 a month, which is a lot in this economy.
Oh, it is actually.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report. It's Monday the 8th of August 2022. Charles Firth, Dom Knight and Chris Taylor with you. We're going to talk about advertising and reviews and all that kind of stuff. But before we do, here's a way you can avoid getting at least some of the ads, Charles, that you're about to hear. You can go to chaser.com.au/podcast, pay money to not get ads like this one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. News you know you can't trust.
So, Charles, we haven't said this for a while, but we need to mention we do need some reviews on Apple Podcasts. It helps the podcast be discovered.
Yes.
And also, all the reviews that are there at the moment are part of an elaborate in-joke from Sammy Shah about leaving reviews about how great his podcast is, which is a good joke.
Yes.
But it's the only thing that's been on there for about 2 months now. So,
You've got to do is leave a 5-star review for us saying how great our show is.
Yes.
On Sammy's podcast.
Yes,
feed.
News Weekly with an A, yes.
And then leave a 5-star review for us
on our
one as well, talking about how great we are. Yeah. Or you can criticize it just as long as it's 5-star.
Yeah, that the best reviews for me are the ones that absolutely lay into us while giving 5 stars.
Hang on, what's going on here? Like, you sound like Uber drivers who when you get out insist on a 5-star rating. Yeah,
that's exactly what we are.
But is there no integrity to the rating system of podcasts?
No.
It's literally just people get on and do a podcast and then beg for 5-star ratings.
It's because everyone else does it.
And that's
the problem.
Because
really?
So if I tune into Ira Glass, at the end of every episode he's going, and please give me a 5-star rating.
because you've seen the price of iceberg lettuce. My kids won't eat tonight if you don't give me a 5-star review.
What's the difference? You get more money if it's...
Oh, yeah, because
it gets
all
more
about
listens.
Yeah, it gets more listens.
That doesn't mean you're getting more listeners. It just means you're getting more fake 5-star.
No, you go up the chart.
Do you?
Yeah.
But it is all fake because the 1-star reviews aren't real either. None of it's real, so they
It's nice for you, Dummy, to think that the 1-star reviews aren't real. I reckon they're real.
Oh, no, some of them probably are.
Whenever I give a 1-star review, I mean it. The 5-star reviews are done out of sufferance and because normally someone's guilted you into doing
it.
Such as we're doing now.
Are you the Chris Taylor 469 who keeps giving us 1-star reviews?
I can't possibly comment on that.
No, the ones that are real, I think, are the 4-star reviews. Which there's a few at the moment that were just like,
And they're all about the pub show. They're all going, prefer the studio show to the pub show.
Well, that's why we're back in the studio.
Right. I've almost reached the point where, you know, for things like Airbnb where you don't trust the reviews, because as someone who does reflexively just give 5-star reviews to keep the peace.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it doesn't require nuance. It's just, I had a good time, 5-star. But it obviously wasn't a 5-star experience. Like everything's sort of a 3.5-4 experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one ever gives 3.5-4. You either give 1 or 5.
Like the Herald 14/20 thing on the food reviews.
Yes.
Like the podcast version of that is 5 stars, please. Just jump on there and help us out.
But I think that's because I think Uber changed the whole politics of that.
Meaningless. A 5-star review on Uber is meaningless.
No, but the whole point was,
what is a 5-star ride?
If you give 4-star, they lose their job.
I know.
Like
if they
dip below about 4.6, they lose their job.
It's 4.2.
Oh, is it 4.2?
Whatever it is, they
gosh,
do actually.
Have to be a shocking driver to get 4.2.
No, and it only takes one fuckwit who had a bad experience to put a one or a zero, and their whole thing goes down, and they're out of a job.
I got that because in America, Yeah. I took a very, very long Uber from the middle of Manhattan to somewhere in New Jersey where our friends were. It was like a $100 Uber or something like that. And I went. It was a huge Uber. It took ages. And I forgot to tip.
Ooh.
Because I forgot I was in America. Yeah. Like, I'd already paid whatever it was, $100 for this Uber. Like, that seemed like enough. But I didn't tip. So this guy gives me like a one star. My average goes right down. And I suddenly can't hail Ubers very much. It took me ages to massage back. So what I started doing was at the end of each Uber, I said to the guy.
As the passenger, he'd say.
You're the only
passenger asking for five-star reviews.
No, at the end of the ride,
I said. That was a five-star passenger.
I always go.
Did it vomit in your car? Surely yeah. Five stars.
Right. I say, thank you so much, five stars. I actually say, five stars from me. Thank you very much.
To put in their mind.
Yeah. I'm giving you five stars, .. therefore
I'm
you like, should.
I'm scratching your back. Yeah. Lie about how enjoyable I was back in the Uber as well.
Can I get your guys' feedback? I have given every Uber to the extent I rate. I don't think I even bother rating that. But in the days when you do, when you're sort of coerced to do it, it's always five stars. I've only ever once not given a five stars, and I gave a three star rating. Can I describe the fare to you, and you rule on whether you think three stars was appropriate, too generous, not generous enough?
Yep.
It was in Santiago in Chile, and the guy went – I needed an Uber from hotel to airport to leave the country. He did the entire highway at least double the speed limit, at least double. At times easily triple.
Were you in a rush? Did you say to him, I'm in a rush?
I was early. Right. I had nothing to do that day other than get to the airport. And no, there was no need. There was no traffic. He just fanged.
There was no traffic.
Dangerously fanged, but he made what should have been a very safe, easy highway dangerous by changing lanes where there was no cars to get around.
Oh, wow.
Just it was a video game for it. And he was fanging, and the car was, you know, going very close to walls and stuff. I'm not, you know, like Andrew Hansen's a very nervous driver.
Yeah.
That's not me. I'm pretty chill as a driver, but I was genuinely anxious that we were going to crash. So that was, at this stage, I'm still thinking five stars, just privately a bit snarky.
Wow, so that's
it.
The level where you even think about dropping
it. Yeah, I'm still, you know, ultimately here to please. Mm. Then, what's the one thing you basically require your Uber to do, especially if you're going to the airport? Like, what's the only thing you require?
Arrive at the destination.
Arrive at the destination you put in. He decides that there's some sort of complicated fee and tax system for an Uber in Chile that if you actually drop someone in the airport, it attracts
the airport fee.
An airport tax or something like that, which he didn't want to pay. Mm. So he thought it would be fine to drop me outside of the airport. What I didn't realise, you know, like airports are massive, but to be outside an airport still requires an eight-kilometre walk from where he's dropped me to the check-in.
Mm.
And on a highway, on roads that aren't, you know, pedestrian-friendly.
Chris, he'd got you there so quickly that you had all the time to do it.
I definitely had time to do the walk. I just thought, you haven't really dropped me where I wanted to be dropped off. Mm. It was a dangerous walk. It was a long walk. So I... Some friends I tell this story to and go, you gave him three?
I was wondering what the three were for.
I thought, no, he still got me kind of to the airport, just not to the airport.
Like, is your only one star review going to be posthumous?
One, you'd have to kill me and I'd still come back from the dead to give one. Zero would be, I don't know, didn't turn up or something. But what do you reckon? That's fine to give three for that, isn't it? Like, if you put the pin in.
Yeah, so I think three's generous.
I would say three, except you're in a developing country.
That was
and
the
thing. I had a bit
of that.
Person,
I had a bit of that guilt.
It's maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a one-star review with loading for your middle-class guilt.
Yeah. So five stars.
Could be. Reminds me of the first time I took an Uber. I was quite worried about it. I thought, this seems not safe.
You never forget your first time.
Yeah, because it seemed bizarre that random people would drive you. How would you know if you got a good driver? All that sort of stuff. Took me a while to get into it. The first trip to the airport was this guy who turned up in a little BMW hatchback.
Mm.
Like an incredibly kind of fast hatch. I was going to the airport
you
as well.
Can score good cars.
Yeah, you can get good cars. But this guy turns up. And he must have been new to Uber. He didn't have a mount for his phone.
Oh, no.
So what he did was he drove to the airport one-handed while holding the phone in his left hand as he drove. So he's powering around the bends doing kind of one-handed turns. It was, I mean, it was certainly
exciting.
Did you
offer to hold the phone? This was in the days you could sit in the front seat.
I was in the back seat, which was, I
mean. Pre-pandemic, you were back seat.
Yeah. Oh, well,
yeah.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't, you know, I didn't know what the etiquette was. Mm. In hindsight, I would have liked to have been. He would have crashed.
Taxis, are you front or back?
I'm normally back.
Pre-pandemic, you're back.
Is that unusual?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's like stars. That's like limo. That's been chauffeured.
Yeah.
I thought people like us went out of our way to sit in the front to show we're not the sort of people that would sit in the back.
Yeah. To the annoyance of every taxi driver who then is forced to speak to you.
Oh, they'd love you in the back, but you need to look real and authentic.
Egalitarian. Yes, yeah.
But you both, enter social interactions on the basis that people will enjoy your company. I've learned better over the years. So I was in the back seat, and this guy, it was incredibly deadly, and I had I think I gave him 2 stars or something, and I had no idea what it even meant, that it was like this cutting insult.
Was it not illegal back then? Because,
it was totally illegal.
There's cameras that now get you.
You've never been allowed to hold your phone in your hand.
Yeah, right. Or is it just at traffic lights now if you text?
But remember, Uber itself was illegal.
It was illegal when
it started in Sydney.
Well, that's the genius of Uber.
Well, maybe that was his rationale. Yeah. If you're letting me pick this guy up, then you'll let me do anything.
Yeah, I'm in a criminal conspiracy. Let's go the whole way. Snort lines off the dash. Yeah.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. More news, less often.
You know, like every now and then, it's normally The Guardian. I think it was The Guardian. Every now and then they do these big investigations and it sort of takes up the main. If you log on to their website, there's like the first 20 stories.
Yes.
And it happened with the Panama Papers. Mm. The most recent one was something called the Uber Files, where there was a big international investigation into the way Uber operates. And the Guardian drops this as like it's, it's the Watergate or something. And they never seem to cause any what you'd call ripple effect to other news outlets where they think, oh, there's a story here. We'll all start reporting on it.
Yeah.
They give it so much sell and then there's no real consequence. But the reason I bring it up is it was really interesting into how much money and effort and energy they put into lobbying governments, state governments, to make it legal.
Yes.
And it was sort of a semi-story, I guess, in the insidiousness with which they lobbied Dan Andrews' government to be lawful. Mm. And I don't think it's like appalling that state governments buckled to this. I don't think you could argue they succumbed to good lobbying or to bribes or anything. There's no suggestion of that. I think they just read the tea leaves that this was inevitable and the gig economy and all that stuff was here to stay. Therefore, the law should bend to recognise that.
Mm. But
Uber spent so much money to get people to change the law, which is really interesting.
Isn't this really unfair for drug dealers who've been just plugging away for a very long time? Also have a gig economy based system. They also have like dial and deliver, from what I understand.
But also, unlike Uber, they're also profitable.
Yes, that's right. They aren't massively losing money.
They're probably
also looking into drone deliveries. And also, in the drug courier industry, there's real penalties for people who don't do a good job, from what I understand. But I talked to someone from Uber. I actually interviewed someone on the radio back in the day who was
from
completely admitted. Yeah, completely admitted that. Yeah, we just sort of set up. We know it's not really allowed, but we hope that they'll change their mind.
Mm.
Why can't drug dealers say to the premiers, look, we know we're not technically legal, but we figure if we keep doing this, you're going to come around? Because that's exactly what Uber did.
Well, I guess they are kind of doing that. Like, they're doing it. I mean, not quite as publicly.
Not quite there yet.
Drug dealers exist. They just need to put in, because I think
they need lobbyists.
The figure is that Uber spends about $140 million, I think it was, on lobbying per year.
Right.
Or at least at the moment, that's their sort of thing, which is a lot of money.
That's almost one Uber Eats ad.
Yeah.
Starring Kim Kardashian and Rebel Wilson.
I think that's about a gram of coke in Sydney at the moment as well. So,
how many stars do you leave for your dealer, by the way? Out of five.
Why? Like, sort of semi-seriously on your point, yeah, why don't more people start doing things that they know to be illegal with the confidence that eventually it will be lawful? Like, I know now in all states, this is a slightly dark example, but assisted dying is now. But it wasn't for many, many years.
Well, I'm hoping
it going, oh, the law will catch up with us eventually.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that my serial killing business will also work the same way. If I just keep on doing it, just keep contract assassin. I think eventually we'll get there. You know, but if people oppose me, I'll take them out.
But that was the Silicon Valley venture capital thing. Yeah. Break things and
disrupt. The law will catch up with us. There was a period
because Airbnb, same thing.
Same thing.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
Remember,
still
the
bad.
Very early days of rideshare, and it was just Uber pretty much in the beginning. Remember there were police arrests and stuff like there were kind of undercover cops were hiring Ubers and then arresting the driver.
And then
happened for about only 2 months. Then everyone just said, okay, there's too many of them, it's too hard.
But also Uber came up with some elaborate system for identifying who the cops were and banning their Uber accounts.
If they were in uniform, they could be a cop. What was the system?
I don't know. They used AI or something. They just sort of worked out. Oh, no, it comes from this IP address.
Hang on.
Wow.
So Uber brilliantly managed to triage who was an undercover cop but can't work out how to make money.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember back when it used to open Uber up and there are all these cars crawling around on the map and they're all completely fake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just gave me this impression that it was massively popular. It's a very dodgy company. We probably shouldn't use them.
Have you noticed?
Well, this is why I think the Uber papers never really got past The Guardian, right?
Because it wasn't a huge
shock. Because
all
the internal emails, I mean, they were fascinating, but they were all things like the head of Uber saying, well, this is highly illegal, but let's do it anyway, right?
Yeah.
And that shocked no one. Like, that's what we've seen for the last 10 years.
Well, also, the big mistake The Guardian made was opening up the comment section and everyone just was like, oh, 5 stars. We want to hurt their business.
Have you guys noticed that Uber's way more expensive now? Like, the one point of difference, the reason we all pivoted from cabs to Uber was it was cheap and less
smelly.
Yeah, and the customer service, you know, the interface of the app was really, you know, it was pleasing. It was sort of fun to use and good.
I mean, you couldn't get a cab on your phone back then.
All of that. With smartphone. And I, as someone who was, you know, not an Uber apologist, but a regular user, I don't use them as much.
No.
I either use Didi or I'm gone back to cabs.
Yeah, right. Well, the Rido cab app is good.
Since
actually.
Surging. This is like what is this podcast?
If any of these people want to advertise, none of these people advertise.
It's true.
It's true because at Melbourne Airport, you know how Uber has taken over most of Melbourne Airport now.
Yeah,
and it is more expensive than walking a little bit further down and catching a cab.
Yeah.
Like, you should always catch a cab from Melbourne Airport.
And is the reason, someone tried to explain the reason Uber's quite expensive. Like, I'm talking about, like, double Didi, and it's certainly more expensive than cabs now, is that there's a bit like so many industries, like hospo and stuff, people have just stopped doing it. There's not as many drivers.
Mm.
So, therefore, whenever you want an Uber, there's fewer of them around. Therefore, so surging kicks in. And I don't know why there aren't as many if people just decided
because
they're not getting paid well enough.
Because there's a million jobs now. I mean, any cafe you go to is desperate for staff. Like, if you were an Uber driver before, you can get a more secure job, presumably now.
Yeah, I always thought a lot of Uber drivers, it was sort of their second job, like kind of pocket money to top up whatever else they do. Not all of them. Some of them did it full time. But it's really interesting. It's not the bargain. It certainly
no,
it
was. When Uber X first started, it was very impressive.
Amazing. Yeah.
But also the food delivery apps now are massively expensive. Like the menu prices are jacked up. There's a delivery fee and a service charge. It's incredibly expensive, and the person who's delivering it to you will probably pay with their lives, and that's even more costly.
That's the crazy thing, because we were talking about the Uber Eats ads. It's always these massive celebrities.
Like, incongruously next to Australians.
There's one with Paris Hilton and the Irwins.
The Irwin,
That's a weird talk about a marriage I ever expected.
I don't know which one of them is slumming it harder in that ad.
If you were an Uber Eats driver and you're looking at you paid Paris Hilton what? And you can't pay me $12 to deliver a pizza 10 kilometres? I mean, it's really out of whack. And I guess it's about market. It's the Netflix model where Uber Eats says we need to smash Deliveroo and Menulog. So we'll just put so much money into marketing and so little money into our actual drivers who aren't staff. They're just people who volunteered in their eyes. It's sort of I've never quite reached the point of being uncomfortable with it that I don't use it, but I'm not far off. Well, do you ever think twice about using Uber Eats on ethical grounds?
I now almost always just ring the restaurant and order pickup.
Right.
Because I luckily live near a lot of restaurants. And not only does the restaurant then get all the things, because Uber takes about
30%.
Yeah,
yeah. Of the marked up price, because it's never the real price now.
It's always cheaper, yeah.
Mm.
So,
do you reckon we've got any chance of getting Uber as a sponsor?
Well, change our tune if you do. God don't take us. No, it's true. It does seem incredibly dubious. And the really sad thing is, you think of all the drivers there who are just trying to eke out a living.
Yeah.
You know that in Uber headquarters, they're doing everything they can to fuck them all off and have drones and like driverless cars.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, driverless cars will be the thing, won't it?
I mean, we'll just wait till they get into podcasting. We're fucked.
They'd be really good at it compared to us.
Yeah, they would be very efficient.
Our gear is from Rode Microphones. We're part of the Acast Creator Network.
Please leave us a 5-star review, which is how we got into this whole conversation. Catch you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.